Welcome back. 100 years ago this month, the world was on the verge of war with Germany. Although the U.S. would not get into it for 3 years, there must have been some nervousness in the large German community in St. Louis. The unease can only have been heightened when a statue honoring Germans, rendered by a German sculptor, sponsored by a German family, was unveiled in May 1904, revealing a bare-breasted woman. It's called the Naked Truth and now resides in Reservoir Park, just south of the Compton Hill Water Tower on the nearest south side. Times have changed, and now the statue is about to be rededicated. Joining me to talk about the statue, the controversy, and the rededication event are Karen Goering, and Managing Director of Operations for the Missouri History Museum, and a Water Tower Park and Preservation Society board member. Isley Hamilton is preservation historian with St. Louis County Parks and Recreation. Thank you both for being with us. We're getting saucy on the program today, aren't we?
That's right.
Oh, well, times have certainly changed. Isley, let me begin with you. Give us kind of the capsulized background version of this whole process.
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm not sure times have changed that much because nudity still is a public issue in many cases, and we can all recall incidents in our own lifetimes where similar stories occurred. So we can't criticize these people necessarily as Victorians.
And yet you can't turn on a television set anymore, particularly the cable channels, without seeing plenty of it.
That's true, yes. Well, what happened was St. Louis had two very vital daily German language newspapers in the 19th century, going back to 1836 and 1847, I believe, and the Anzeiger des Westens and the Westliche Post. And they produced some great writing. Joseph Pulitzer got his start through the German press, and they were a vital part of the St. Louis community. And in short order, in 1905 and 06, three of the most important people who had been associated with them died. First, Emil Praetorius, who was the editor of the Westliche Post, then Carl Schurz, who had been with the Post and had gone on to become a national figure as Secretary of the Interior and a leading diplomat, and then finally Carl Danzer, who died late in 1906, who had been the editor of the Anzeiger. And this led to an outpouring of appreciation for these men, and even starting at the very beginning when Praetorius died, they said, we have to have a monument for these people. And finally, in 1909, Adolphus Busch said he would come up with $20,000 if they could raise another 10. And they were able to do that. And then they had a competition among, as it turned out, seven sculptors. And the committee selected the one foreigner in among the seven, a man named Wilhelm von Schneider, who was very prominent in Germany, but not very well known here. And it was only then that the whole committee saw the model. And it was actually put on display in the public library downtown, which had just opened a few months before that. It was one of their first exhibits. And nobody who attended – well, I guess actually a few people who attended the exhibit objected to the nudity, and so the committee said, we're not going to build the von Schneider monument. Well, in the meantime, he had already gotten on a ship and was headed across the Atlantic Ocean to St. Louis to start work on the project. And when he got here, he and particularly his very charming wife persuaded everybody that this was really quite modest and chaste, is the word they used. And they did approve it. And less than a year later, it was ready for dedication in 1914.
I think I said early on it was 1904. Of course, it's the 100th anniversary. So yeah. If I do the math correctly this time, that would make it 1914,
right.
on the eve of. Karen, what do you make of all of this, this early part of the story?
I think it shows how the art in St. Louis can be appreciated from a number of different perspectives. It's a major artwork, but it's most important and appreciated in St. Louis because of the heritage, the newspapers, the fact that all three of these gentlemen immigrated to St. Louis after the 1848 revolutionary failure in Germany. And this sculpture has survived a number of attacks over the years. Shortly after the United States entered into World War I, the Women's Christian Temperance Union mounted a campaign demanding that it be melted down and turned into munitions. Fortunately, the city did not do that. It then suffered again when the interstate highway system was going in and Highway 44 went through part of Reservoir Park, and they had to move the sculpture. Over the years, the medallions were stolen, and as part of the restoration in the last few years, two of those have been recreated by a local sculptor. And most recently, the sculpture was defaced during the Occupy St. Louis incident in 2012, where some individuals, not part of an official act, but spray-painted a class struggle on the bronze monument.
So it wasn't an objection necessarily, the defacing objection to the nudity involved. It was really just kind of a protest.
Yes, it was almost incidental to the monument itself. And I must say that several members of Occupy St. Louis worked with the Water Tower Board to clean up the monument after.
Otherwise, the monument is and the statue deemed acceptable by today's standards by anybody in the park.
Yes.
That visits the park. Esley?
Yeah, I would say so too. And we have to think of the meeting of the waters fountain at Alo Plaza, which almost 30 years after this.
Tillis Fountain, I think, is what a lot of people call it, isn't it? Or
Millis.
Am I thinking of something?
Millis
Fountain. Millis. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Carl Millis.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was considered scandalous too. But once it was dedicated, everybody accepted it.
Right.
Although over the years, there have been various attempts to drape the figures with sheets and things.
Well, I remember a story with John Ashcroft, our former governor, when he was in Washington,
exactly.
Wanted a statue covered when he was holding his news conferences,
yes.
Because partial nudity involved mm-hmm. there. It's quite a story, and putting these things in perspective is always a lot of fun. How does the statue symbolize truth?
She has nothing to hide.
Okay. That takes us back to square one, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right. And, with the broadly opened arms, but then sitting there very primly in a rather prim pose.
There were some suggested early on that the scarf or whatever it is that she has by her arms, and I don't have the
yeah.
picture, that should have been placed
around her.
Around her.
Well, and one person said that if there was no fabric whatsoever, that it would be less offensive mm-hmm. because it wouldn't be so obvious that she's undressed. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a suggestion, somebody's going to have to make this right for me, that the statue not be made out of marble as opposed to – go ahead, Karen. You finish the sentence for me.
It was originally proposed to be made of white marble, mm-hmm. and it's interesting, but the committee that eventually restated the design as the winner of the competition changed the medium from marble to bronze because they felt it was less nude. Now, go figure. But they felt that it would be more acceptable to the public.
All right. Mm. Anything to add to that?
Well, also the background was changed from marble to red Missouri granite, which mm-hmm. is also dark. And in the context of Reservoir Park, it's more consistent with the water tower that's there, which is also dark stone.
Let's take a call here. We have Chris in South St. Louis who wants to get into the discussion. And we'll take other calls as well at 382-8255. But let's start with Chris. Go ahead.
Yes, your guest mentioned that there was a competition to select the sculptor. I'm wondering if another sculptor, Robert Cower, I believe the name is, he's responsible for two pieces of sculpture in Forest Park relating to Germany or famous Germans that had an impact on St. Louis, the Franz Siegel statue and then the Frederick Juan Memorial. Some people refer to it as the Turvantine Memorial. I'm wondering if he competed.
He was not one of the individuals that was a finalist for the sculpture. The second place went to local sculptor Victor Holm, and third place went to Robert P. Bringhurst.
And the other were Frederick Ruckstuhl, Julian Zolnay, Franz Vitor, and Richard Kirst. Vitor and Kirst are pretty obscure today, but the others all have rather well-known monuments in this area. Yeah. And I was surprised that they didn't invite the one you mentioned.
Yeah. I mentioned in the introduction that the German population in St. Louis must have been a little bit nervous about the time that all of this was happening, 1914. I mean, the drums of war were beating. And do you have any sense of that, Esley, as to what the
Well, actually, like? What struck me was the great togetherness of the thing. There were almost all the members of the committee were first-generation immigrants, but, for example, when Emil Pretorius died, the Post-Dispatch called him a great American. Schurz had been a member of the U.S. cabinet. He was one of very few first-generation immigrants ever to hold a cabinet-level position. And I think there was a great deal of integration here in St. Louis and tolerance prior to the war. I think it was the war that changed everything, especially here in St. Louis.
Yeah, of course, we were a couple of years out of it at this particular point. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, several years after the dedication of the sculpture, it was a completely different story when St. Louis started questioning the patriotism of the German-Americans in St. Louis. The street names were renamed. Von Versen was changed to Enright. Berlin Street became Pershing. Mm-hmm. There was no longer would the city of St. Louis print their agendas and their meeting minutes in the German-American press. The German books were removed from the St. Louis Public Library. And even the St. Louis Symphony, for a period of time, would not perform works by German composers.
And one of the competitors, Frederick Ruckstuhl, changed the spelling of his last name so that it wouldn't sound so German.
Of course, this was going on all over the country, too. Berlin, New Hampshire. It used to be Berlin, New Hampshire, I believe, but they changed the pronunciation of it, too. Mm-hmm. So this was not something new. With regard to the rededication, is there a refurbishing that's involved in this whole process? Karen, tell me about that.
Yes. The rededication is this Saturday, May 17th, starting at 1 p.m. in Reservoir Park, which is at South Grand and Shaw. The leading up to this, the sculpture has been restored. Over the years, all three medallions had been missing from the sculpture. Two of them had been stolen a number of years ago, and the city removed the one remaining medallion for safekeeping. The Water Tower Park and Preservation Society worked with a local sculptor in Soulard, and he recreated from historic photographs the two missing medallions. And so those that come to the dedication this Saturday will see not only a restored statue and monument, they will also landscaping has been done around the monument. There are new sidewalks and stairs. And so it's an opportunity to celebrate the restoration of this monument.
I've seen the program, and there is a very Germanic influence throughout this entire program.
There is. The Deutschmeister Brass Band will be performing. Robert Duffy of St. Louis Public Radio is serving as Master of Ceremonies.
Thank you for bringing that in.
And Esley will be doing the keynote address.
I wanted to get to that. Esley, what's your approach going to be to that address?
Well, there are a couple of things. I want to emphasize that it's a significant work of art, that it falls right into the kind of advanced stylistic trends in Germany and Austria during that period, which aren't so well known in this country. And then the point I just made, I want to emphasize again, that this was a time of a feeling of brotherhood, that there were Jewish, Catholic and Protestant members of the committee, and the mayor spoke. Mm-hmm. There were prominent people on both sides of the Jewish American, I mean the German American divide, who were involved in this, and it kind of gives you a glimpse of what might have been if World War I hadn't broken out. Mm-hmm.
Was there any incident relative to this statue in, during World War II? I mean, just
nothing that I've heard.
Yeah. Why was the statue placed where it was placed initially? What was the significance of
well,
the spot?
Well, initially, they people wanted to have it in Lafayette Park because Pretorius lived right on the park and Danzer lived just a block away. So that mm-hmm. was their neighborhood. But by the time the project was underway, the Compton Hill neighborhood had become much more fashionable. The new tower had been built. There was thousands of dollars being spent on large mansions in that area, and it seemed like a more up-and-coming place. Also, it's higher ground, so it would be more visible.
Mm-hmm. You want to add to that, Karen?
Compton Heights had opened at this point, and many of the German wealth in the St. Louis metropolitan area, those individuals were building their mansions in the new Compton Heights neighborhood, which was very close to Compton Hill.
Well, what is involved in moving something like this around? I mean, this is not like moving a park bench.
When it was moved in 1969 for the highway, the total costs that the city had to cover for moving it approached $25,000. And that was in the 1960s.
But just literally, physically moving it is
yeah.
How was that?
They had a huge crane, and they strapped it around the middle. And once it was being held by the crane, they could have two workmen just walk along with it and guide it. Mm-hmm. But the huge weight of it was supported by the big crane.
In the actual renovation itself, what specifically was done? I mean, the bronze polished, that sort of thing. That's how much I know about such a thing.
The statue had to essentially be cleaned and then have a new patina applied to mm-hmm. it. The missing medallions had to actually be sketched and models made, three-dimensional models from early photographs. And then once those were approved, they were cast in bronze. The new sidewalks surrounding it and stairs were moved in. There have been construction equipment and cranes there. It's basically been a 2-year process.
Who is around that can reconstruct the medallions, for instance? I'm looking at them here in a picture that I have in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this looks like an old kind of craft to me.
It's an incredible skill. And there's an individual in Soulard named Vlad Zitomirsky, and he is an incredible craftsman, does a lot of casting of works in St. Louis in bronze. And we had some early photographs at the Historical Society that were taken of the monument when it was new, with the old-fashioned 8x10 glass mm-hmm. plate negatives, so they can be enlarged without losing focus. And he was able to work with those to recreate the missing pieces.
The woman, mm-hmm. does she have a name?
I mean,
no, it just...
She's Truth.
Truth. She is Truth. She mm-hmm. is Truth. Is there a model for Truth here? I mean, it's a very attractive woman.
Well, that's a good question. It might have been Mrs. Von Schneider, who was considerably younger than he was and was very charming. Everybody commented on that.
I would just say it had better have been Mrs. Von Schneider. Otherwise, the wife might not have appreciated his imagination if that's what it was so much. All right. Well, we've come to the end of our time. Any final thought you'd like to add, Karen or Esli?
I just wanted to say we're very grateful to those photographers of 100 years ago who were such fine craftsmen, particularly W.C. Persons, who was an incredible photographer, and that's what made this restoration possible.
That's right. Without those initial photographs, you would have been in deep trouble. Okay. Well, once again, the rededication ceremony is going to be taking place Saturday, May 17th. At 1 p.m., that's in Reservoir Park, South Grand and Shaw. Seems to like it's going to be quite an event. A lot of music and probably a lot of German being spoken by some of the people who are going to be involved. Esli Hamilton, thank you so much for being with us. And Karen Goering, thank you for being with us as well. Good luck on event on Saturday. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun.
Thanks, folks.
If you haven't seen the statue, go on down and have a look. It's really something to see. Okay, well, tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll be talking with Eric Peterson, the editor of Light and Liberty, Reflections on the Pursuit of Happiness. The book is a collection of Thomas Jefferson's essays, speeches, and letters. And then we'll talk about the ongoing transformation of the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial, or the Arch Grounds. We'll talk with a representative from City Arch River. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at sdlpublicradio.org. It's a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.